Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. This is a new day, and this is the last day of this year of 2006. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and for your providence and for the ways that you led us all through the year. Father, we have come to the end of this year, and we want to thank you for all your goodness. The whole of this year we were able to study on family and about the ways and things that you desire from a good Christian family. Lord, this morning I pray that you enlighten our eyes, that we may know more from your word. Father, we want to be more than conquerors through Christ, and I pray that you teach us how. This morning I pray for everyone, Lord, seated here. I pray that you may bless us and open our eyes and enlarge our vision, Lord. I pray that we remove the scales that Satan has many times put on us, Lord, to blind us from walking in the path of God. I pray that you bless us all. Bless all the Sunday school classes this morning. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. As I said, this morning we are going to study on the victory. At the end of a Christian's life and journey, we know that we are in the victorious side. We are on the winning side. We are on the winning team. The commander-in-chief has already won the first phase of the battle, but we as the children of God, we are continuing on him, and we are going to be more than conquerors. Going to be more than conquerors in him, in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you, that is what God expects from our life. I mean, if you turn with me to Revelation chapter 21, it says that to them who overcome, you know, those people who have finally overcome, to them God has promised the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. To them that God has promised the things of heaven. And you should understand that we are called to be overcomers. We are called to be victorious in our Christian walk, in our Christian life. Let us turn to Romans chapter 8. We are going to read some verses now. Our whole series this morning is on Romans chapter 8. So I want you to, you don't have to flip through the pages too much, because just keep your page open to Romans chapter 8. And we are going to study about how to be more than conqueror. How to be a victorious. And the Lord is going to teach us some things about being victorious. I'm going to read some verses. Romans chapter 8 and verses 35 through to 39. I want you to pay attention in your Bible. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord." This is a declaration of Apostle Paul that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And in stating that one statement in verse number 37, Apostle Paul has worked on building up his case to say why we are more than conquerors, or how we get the victory. And there are five areas that I want to look this morning. The first is, the victory is through the spirit of adoption. You all should understand that we are not actually, figuratively speaking, we are not the true children. We are not the real children of God. Who are the real children of God? Israelites, the descendants of Abraham. And that was what God said, I make you and my descendants as my children. Okay? But what God has done is that God adopted us into the family of God through his son Jesus Christ. And through that adoption, we have a victory. Today, let us turn to Romans chapter 8 verse 14. It says here that for as many as are led by God, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. We have received the spirit of adoption. You know, the spirit that we need to have is not a spirit of how a slave responds to a master or a subordinate responds to a boss. That is not the spirit that we need to have in the presence of God. It says that the fear should not be the motivating force to serve God, because He has not given us what? A spirit of fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear. But what has He given us? Look to verse number 15, the last part. Last part, it says, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Let me tell you something very interesting. The word Abba is the same word that we would say or call dad or daddy or papa or, you know, whatever you call. That is the word that was used to address to the parent, the father. And the very meaning of the word Abba, you know, it itself is very interesting. The word A of the first part of Abba, it is the first sound that a baby will make upon breathing. Ah, you know, when you see small children, the first words that they speak, the first syllable or sound a baby makes is what? Ah. And the next part of it is called what? Ba. Ba is a sound that comes by closing the lips together. Ah, ba. You need to close your lips to say ba. You cannot keep you cannot say. It won't. If you open your lips, you can only say ah. But you need to close your lips if you have to say ba. Ah, ba. The first sounds, the simple sounds, the basic thing, ah, ba, is actually from that, you know. I'll tell you something very interesting. From that has come the English letters A, A, Ba, B, A and B in the English alphabet. Or in Hebrew, Aleph, which is the first word, and Beth is the second word. Aleph and Beth in Hebrew. If you talk about Greek, Alpha and Beta. Alpha, Beta. It's all from A, Ba, which is the first two words in our syllable as a baby you say. And that is the word that God has given us to address our Heavenly Father. We have received, you know, a spirit of adoption that we call Him what? Abba, Father. You know, the relationship is such wonderful. We are not to have a spirit of fear, but we have to have a spirit of love and of a sound mind. So, the spirit of adoption is a spirit of Abba Father. The next one, the spirit of adoption assures us of a sonship. It says that in verse number 16, I want you to turn your Bibles. It says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit, when you see in that chapter, wherever the Spirit is put with a capital S, that is the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit of God. So, the God Spirit or the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. You know, you also have a spirit within you. So, the Holy Spirit bears a witness with your spirit, what? Saying that you are or we are the children of God. So, this is basically a term where the Holy Spirit will take a witness in the stand and will testify to our spirit that we are God's children. So, the spirit of adoption, because we have received the kind of a spirit that has adopted us into the family of God. We were not born into the family of God. We were born in sin. We were born in darkness and death. We were born as the children of darkness. But through the mercy of God and by the leading of the Holy Spirit, God drew us to Himself, wherewith we said, Lord, I accept you in my heart. I want you to my Heavenly Father. And the Lord adopted us into the family of God. So the spirit of adoption has given us an assurance that we are the sons of God. So all the time, you know, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to your spirit, hey, you are a child of God. Whenever you put your hands to do something bad, the Holy Spirit will say, hey, you are a child of God. It assures us, it prompts us, it makes us think and understand that we are the children of God. The third thing, or I should say the fourth thing, is that through the spirit of adoption, not only we become part of God's family, but we are also heirs of God's kingdom. We are also God's heirs. Are you understanding, Bobby? Yes. Isn't it interesting? It's exciting. Don't sit in that posture. Looks like you are feeling very dull and drab about it. We are adopted into God's family. We are adopted into the kingdom of God. And not only we are adopted, you know, as a son, Rufus, I believe you are going to get your father's inheritance. Unless you really mess with him. Maybe he will write off his inheritance to some foundation. Otherwise, if you are a good boy, what are you going to get? All the enormous wealth that your parents are amassing for you. That's for you. As children, you are inheritors of your parents. Similarly, you know, in our life, look to all of you, look to Romans 8 verse number 17. I want you all to look to the Bible. Josh, I know you know the Bible left and right, but please open your Bible when the Sunday school is going on. Open your Bibles and read the verses. And it will really open our minds to understand the things of God. Verse number 17 says, and if you are the children of God, if you are God's children, what it is, then we are the heirs. What is heirs? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So this is what we receive for being part of God's family. We are the heirs of God's treasures. Yesterday I think most of us were in that beautiful home of Blessed Uncle, right? Who is going to get that home after Blessed Uncle and Joyce Auntie is gone? Who is going to get that home? Hey, Joanna! She is the heir of the fortune of her dad and mom. Think, look at her. When you look at her, can you understand, imagine she is going to inherit all the wealth. We are heirs of the... When you look at us, you know, our face should reflect that God's glory. We are going to inherit the kingdom of God. And you know, because of the greatness of the mercy of God, we are not a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. You know what God has done? It says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with whom? Look to your Bible. Joint heirs with? Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. But the mercy of God towards us is so great, God has made us joint heirs with Him. So the riches that Christ is going to enjoy, we are going to enjoy with Him. Isn't it wonderful? It makes me a lot of reason to shout and praise God, because we are part of God's family and we are heirs of the kingdom of God. So the first victory that we receive is through the spirit of adoption, by which we call Abba Father. The second one is the victory that we receive through the sufferings of Christ. Let us turn to Romans chapter 8 verse 17. The second part of it, it says that indeed if we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together. You know, God has promised that there will be suffering in our life. Many of us are preaching about prosperity and saying that you don't have to go through hardship. You know, God is a good God. He loves you and He wants the best for you. But I'm telling you, if you are to be part of God's inheritance and God's glory, you should also be a part of the suffering of Christ. What is the suffering of Christ about? It was to fulfill the righteousness of God. Not suffering because you didn't do your homework or you got a C in your class. That's not the suffering. Don't come and say, I was suffering for Christ last week. My parents gave me a whacking. You know why? Because he didn't study well. That's not the suffering of Christ we are talking about. When we are suffering for God's kingdom, I'll tell you a good example. When your kids are in school, you witness to somebody came to know about it, you are made a laughing stock. Everybody makes fun of you, you know. They call you a clown and Jesus freak and, you know, so all kinds of names. That is a suffering because Jesus himself was humiliated when he was upon this earth. And when you receive the same humiliation as Jesus did, it says you are suffering with him. But you get a victory through that. Let us see here. It says that we suffer together. And we feel the same pain as Jesus has felt in his life. Let us turn to one verse here. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. This may be one of the isolated verses that we will read the rest of the passage. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. Can someone read out in your own Bibles, please? Hebrews 2:10.
Bringing many sons to glory with him for God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering.
He should, see what is it written? That to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You know, you are partaking in the sufferings of Christ. And our suffering is the same that maybe we are not going to be crucified, of course, but we are going to be ridiculed, we are going to be mocked upon. If you are really standing up, let me tell you one thing. If you have no problems in your class or no problems in your school, you know why? Tell me why, Nitni. Why do you think there is no problems? Because you are going with the flow. You are going with the flow. You are going in the wide way. There is no problems for you. You know when problems will come? When you stand apart for Christ. And when that problems come, that is a suffering that you should be partaking with Christ. And that is the greatness of it. But let's go to verse number 18 here. It says, but whatever sufferings that you are undertaking, it is not something that you can even compare with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. You know, there is a glorious future, even though you are right now in a state where you don't understand it, but we are all going to have a glorious future. We are all going to be glorified. We are all going to be like Christ. Like Christ was glorified, we are all going to be glorified like Christ. And when we look at that future glory and make a comparison with the suffering that you are going through now, what is that? You put it on a scale. What did he say? Our suffering is nothing compared to the glory that God is going to bestow upon our lives. It's really wonderful to understand that we will receive, we will be glorified one day. And God will really bless us. The third thing in this passage, it's a little complicated and I don't want to confuse you today. But let me tell you, even the earth is right now suffering, awaiting for our redemption. You know that? The earth is suffering. If you turn to from verse number 19 onwards, you know, I don't want to read through the whole passage, but you should read it very slowly. It says that God's creation, the earth, is also suffering because of us, but waiting for our redemption. If you turn to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18, you know, when before God cursed man, you know, God cursed the earth also. You know that? God cursed the earth. The earth has become under the curse of God. Not because the earth did something wrong. Who did wrong? Man. Adam and Eve. They committed the sin, but who got the curse? The earth. And the earth is right now going through that pains. You know, that is the reason I'm telling you, we are still not in a perfect world. You see tsunami going on, you see hurricane, you see volcanoes, you see famine one side, you see flood on the other. What is the reason? Because the earth is also going through that suffering process and waiting for a redemption that is going to come upon our lives. But one day, God is going to destroy this old earth. And God is going to create a new heavens. And I'm telling you, there is no more tsunami going to come in the new earth. No more hurricanes. No more famine. No more floods. Nothing. God is going to create an earth which is not a cursed but a blessed one of God. So, we understand that the earth is also waiting for a redemption. It's like a mother going through the labor pains, waiting for the deliverance of the baby. Till the baby is delivered, the mother has to go through that pains. And that is the way the earth is going through the pains right now. But once the baby is delivered, once God will cleanse up and make a new earth, you know what is going to happen? There's no going to be any more. Yeah, no pain, no sorrow. And it's going to be a wonderful day. The fourth one we see is our suffering also is in hope. Let me ask you, what is hope? What is hope? Simple. One word we use all the time. What is hope?
Faith.
Faith? What is hope? Josh, the expert. Tell me, what is hope? Okay, that's good. Okay. Says he's not an expert, but what is hope? What is the word? What is the meaning of the word hope? If you look at hope, the word itself, it's actually future faith. Bobby was right. I know many of you were laughing at his answer. Though he spoke, I don't know if he knew the answer. He just blurted it out. But actually hope is future faith. It's not present faith, but future faith. Romans chapter 1 verse 17 says, the just shall live by faith. But Romans 8 verse 24, what does it say here? Can someone just go read that verse please? Romans 8, 24.
From this hope we were saved. Hope that is seen is no hope.
Okay, it says that we are saved by this hope. How can you be saved by a hope? You know that the just shall live by faith. So, how does the hope save us? You know, we can see our present justification by the faith, but we cannot see the future glory by hope. That is where we are hoping for. Whatever we believe today by faith, we are hoping that God will bring in our lives in the future. There is a victory in our lives through suffering. First, we know that when we suffer, the very sufferings that Christ has suffered, we are not alone in our sufferings. Number two, our sufferings are not counted worthy of the glory that God is going to be revealing to our lives. Third is the creation of the world is suffering with us in our travail. And fourth, the salvation of our soul is by faith. But the salvation of our body is going to be in a hope that we cannot yet see. So, there is a victory through the sufferings. When you go through sufferings in your life, you remain steadfast and faithful. What is God going to do for you? God is going to give you a victory. Nigel? God is going to give you a victory when you go through the suffering. Let's go to the third part of it. It's victory through the spirit of intercession. How many of you, what is meant by intercession? Let me ask you that. Okay. What is meant by intercession? Nigel, I think you know the answer. What is meant by intercession? Collins, what is meant by intercession?
You're just meditating on one topic.
No. It's a wrong answer. Anybody else? What is meant by intercession?
Pleading.
Eh?
Pleading.
Pleading. No. Any other answer? Listen.
Meeting together.
No. What else?
Spending time.
Spending time? Intercession is, we are going to God's throne for other people. Very simple. You are interceding. You are looking up to God for someone else. You are praying to God for somebody else, not for you. So every day when you pray to God, that actually should turn into an intercession and not a personal shopping list of Lord, 2007, you have something to share, Nisi? I thought you were trying to do that. Okay, intercession. We should have a spirit of intercession. You know, here, when you turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse number, I'm going to go very quickly here. 26 and 27, it says that we do not actually know what we should pray for. We do not know for whom we should pray for. But what happens here? What happens here?
The Spirit,
the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Because He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When we are interceding, which means when you pray for the needs of others, we do not exactly know what we should pray for. But what happens? The Holy Spirit helps us, because it says that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We have a finite mind. We really do not know what we should pray for, but the Holy Spirit, through our spirit, will complete our prayer and really help to pray. With what? With groanings that cannot be uttered. Unutterable groanings. The Holy Spirit will use us, and we join with the Holy Spirit, and He takes our weakness upon Himself. So what happens is that He helps us to pray for the needs of other people. So you get a victory through the Spirit of intercession. It helps our infirmities, and also the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings that cannot be uttered. It is a beautiful work of the Holy Spirit, and we become victorious through that. Now the fifth one is that we are also victorious through the providence of God. What is the providence of God? What God is working out for our life. Look to verse number 8, Romans 8 verse 28. It's a very familiar verse. You know, that what happens, what is the category of the people that God works everything good? Tell me, look to your Bible and tell me. Those who? For good for whom? Those who? Love God. And number two? Those who are?
Called
according to the purpose of God. Two categories. You, first of all, you need to love God. Which kind of love? The agape love, the true love. We need to love. And also we are called according to those purpose. To those people, it says that in every circumstances, God will work out only good in our life. So God works out good in our daily circumstances. And He works in every area of our lives. So whatever happens in our daily life, if we are called by God and we truly love God, you know what happens? Even things that happen for bad, as in our eyes we see that it happened for bad, God will work it together for good in our lives. And that is what it says in 8 verse 28, that all things God will work together for good. So even through the sufferings, the adversities that happen in your life, God will providentially work it out for good. How many of you believe that? I want to see your hand. Some of you still don't believe that God will work for your good. You need to believe that. If you are a child of God, if you are called by God, you need to believe that God will work everything together for good. Maybe you go through a hard time. Children lose their parents, or you know, they have big problems. But even through it all, God will work through for His good. And God's providence also work through our calling. It says that those who are called according to His purpose. So God works everything for those who truly love God, and number two, who are called according to His purpose. Finally, I'm going to say that our victory is assured. You know, you are in the winning team, as I said. If you keep your eyes focused upon God, you are going to reach the finish line. The only thing is that you have to be faithful in what God has entrusted to you. And on this last day of 2006, this is a thing that has been really in my mind over the last some days about faithfulness. God has really been speaking to me in my heart about how much faithful we are to God. God has entrusted us with a lot of things. Are we faithful to the call of God? Are we committed to the cause of Christ? Because if we are doing that, God says what? He will help us to be more than conquerors. He will give us the victory. The victory is assured through the firstborn son. Look at verse number 29 and 30. It says, for those he foreknew, he predestined to be confirmed into the image. So we are all getting confirmed into the image of Jesus Christ. And slowly, slowly our bad habits are chiseled away. And we are slowly getting transformed into the shape of Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? So any habits that you have which doesn't conform to Christ, God is chiseling away. And God wants to conform you finally to the image of Christ. So you can be a joint heir with Christ and you can enjoy the blessings of heaven that God has reserved for us. Finally, victory is also assured through the righteousness of God. See in verse number, I want to end here. Verse number 31 onwards. It says that if God did not spare his own son, he gave up his most prized possession for us, will he withhold from us anything else? Because God is the one who justifies us. And you know that God, Christ died for our sins. He came and he rose again and he's at the right hand of God and he is making intercession for us. And the righteousness of God says that God will grant us a victory. So ultimately we are victorious. How many of you believe you are going to be victorious? We are in the victorious team. We are headed out to victory. No matter, there will be drawbacks in the way. There will be things that come and snatch us away and take us away from the path that God has. But finally, we are going to finish the race. How? If you run looking at Christ. Don't run looking at the things of the world or at your friends or somebody. Look at Jesus Christ and run the race with patience and God will grant you a victory. Let's close our eyes tonight, this morning. On this last day, let us just surrender our hearts in the presence of God. You know, God has called us not to live a defeated life. God has called us to be victorious. The joy of the Lord is my strength, it says. We need to be enjoying in the presence of God, walking our step firmly, with our eyes straight ahead, looking at Jesus, and He is going to grant us the victory. Let us close our eyes, every one of you. This morning time, I want you to just thank the Lord for His goodness and say, Lord, I want to be a victorious person. Can you do that, please? Can you do that? It's a solemn moment. I don't want you to look around. Just speak to God in your heart. And look to God and say, Lord, you have done all this for me. I want to be victorious. I want to walk a victorious life. Because to him who overcomes, the Lord says, I will give you the riches of heaven. We need to be an overcomer. We need to be a victorious person. We need to be more than conquerors through Christ. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you that you brought us together and we thank you for your wonderful word. We know that God works everything out for our good because we love you and we are called according to your purpose. We thank you for this whole of this year. How wonderfully you have guided us. Though we went through many troubles and setbacks and difficulties and problems in our life, but through it all we can look back and we see your faithfulness. This morning I pray that you bless us all, give us a good worship, help us to glorify your name this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.